Quick heads up before the episode begins. I recorded this before I learned this piece of news, so I'm just interjecting here to let you know that Carrie Patel and Gabe Pomaro went on Creature Cast, a podcast, to talk about Avowed. It is the first, I guess, sort of media about this game after the developer direct and the extended one, and it's a bit more of a casual conversation. It gives a little more context to some things I talk about in this episode. I don't cover anything from the Creature Cast podcast in this episode, so if you want to hear more about it, such as are companions romanceable, spoiler alert, they're not, and a few other things, go check out Creature Cast. I put a link on my Twitter at World of Aora if you want to find that there, or you can probably just look up Creature Cast on whatever podcast platform you're currently on. Okay, that said, let's jump right into the episode.
Welcome to the World of Aora, a news and lore podcast about the Pillars of Eternity games, as well as Obsidian Entertainment's upcoming release, Avowed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the World of Aora. I'm your host, Eric, aka Gingerino. Thanks for joining me, everyone, as we have another special episode to listen to today. I mean, aren't all the episodes special? Well, I guess not, because if they were all special, then none of them would cease to be unique. Anyways, whatever, you're not here to listen to that. Today is a special episode, though. Why? Because we have more information about Avowed. So very shortly after I put out the previous episode, there was an extended footage deeper dive into Avowed with the Xbox podcast, the official Xbox podcast. And so we had 25 minutes or so, an interview with Carrie Patel and Gabe Pomaro, two developers within the game, and we're going to be looking at the information tied today. So before we jump in, if you're new to this show, welcome to the show. We primarily look at the lore for the World of Aora here, which is the fantasy setting for Avowed. It's also seen in two other Obsidian games called Pillars of Eternity 1 and Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. Now, I want to apologize in advance. I am a bit sick, so my voice might sound a bit off, but I felt that, you know, we still need to record this episode, and I've been sick for a few days now. So it's not going to get any better. I'm just going to have to record it as I am. So as well, if you want to check out the episode previous to this, episode 80, I talk about the developer direct and what we learned from there, as well as give you some pointers to some episodes to check out if you're brand new to the show and you're a little overwhelmed by how many episodes are in this show. But for now, what we're going to do today is we're going to go through what I consider to be the highlights, especially lore-related stuff, in the extended developer direct, the deeper dive, if you will. So join me, everyone, today as we jump into the deeper dive, and let's see what we have to learn there.
I'm curious. What exactly did you find there?
So we have a number of things to cover today that we've learned from it, and I've primarily broken these down into the categories of gameplay, lore, and other. You know, for the things that kind of don't know which one to put them in. So I'm going to start off with the gameplay-related stuff. I know that's important to a lot of you about Avowed, so you probably already know a bunch of these, so I'll try to breeze through these pretty quickly, especially since this is a lore program, but I want to save the stuff that I'm excited about for last. So within the gameplay, we learned several different things. We've learned companion-related stuff, that there is no such thing as a companion approval system. This means that no matter what decisions you make, the companions that you have in the game will not leave your party or your party camp. And yes, there is a party camp, just like in Baldur's Gate 3. For people who are not out and about adventuring with you, the player character, they will wait back at camp so that you can come back and tell them to join them on their journey. But there's none of them are going to leave you. I assume that there's going to be some reactivity to your choices, like some of them might not like you, but it seems like the companions are using you as a means to their end. Whether or not they develop a relationship with you to like you or dislike you as they go, that will remain to be seen, but you cannot make a decision or perform actions in the game that will cause them to leave you. On the opposite side of the spectrum, you cannot perform so many positive actions with them that you can actually romance them. It seems that Carrie Patel's confirmed there's no romance options. Now, I'm going to dive into that a little bit further, just to make sure that's confirmed, and not just hearsay, but from what I've gathered, it seems that there's no romance options available with the companions, possibly anybody, so you're not able to piss them off enough they'll leave, or do the opposite enough that they will romance with you, which some I know are disappointed about. Me personally, it's never been important to me, so I'm unaffected, but I recognize some people view that as a loss. The other thing about companions is that they are going to basically be mandatory. I don't know if this means you have to have companions with you all the time, like you're not allowed to leave into the world solo as a player. I don't think that would necessarily be the case, but who knows? They are putting quite an emphasis on companions. Your companions will enter into your party as you play the game. Like, that's going to happen. So even if you try to actively avoid them, if you progress the story, it seems like eventually they will join your party. So even if they are able to be placed at the camp and stay there, they will be part of your journey. So there's no avoiding that. There are apparently also going to be certain quests or missions where you have to take specific party members along for something like that. So there's definitely an emphasis on the companions in the game, which I like. You know, I love character relationships, and you get a lot of lore from companions and NPCs within the game. So I'm definitely excited for it, and I'm not going to have a problem with that. But that's the news for you on that. As far as gameplay related stuff goes, there's nothing like crazy going on here. There's some stuff that I noticed as well as things they said. One thing that can be taken of note is that underwater swimming mechanics exist within the game, which isn't a huge surprising thing. I mean, it's 2024. It's not that hard to figure that that would be a thing. But yeah, so you can swim underwater in Avowed. We got to see the player character use a health potion in the game, which isn't anything crazy. But I do want to note how similar it looked to the animations from the Outer Worlds. When you used a medical inhaler in the Outer Worlds, it was a very quick action. You just like flung on screen right in your face. It had the sound and the animation, and then you threw it away and you got right back into the action. And Avowed, it was like you popped the cork, you drank the potion, and you threw the bottle away, and it was very quick, and it felt very Outer Worldsy, which isn't a surprise. I'm sure that they built a lot of Avowed off of the systems and mechanics that they had from Outer Worlds. As well, I mentioned in my previous episode that when you kill an enemy, these little purple dots float out of the body. Eventually, as we saw in this extended footage, those purple dots actually fly towards your character. We still don't know what those are. I don't think that they're experience points, but they could be. As well, they could be something that charges up a special ability, like an ultimate attack or something like that. From a lore perspective, these purple dots could represent a piece of essence that is like coming off of the body from the soul leaving that body. So your character is somehow able to absorb essence in that case, which would be very interesting. Like, why is your character able to siphon off a little bit of essence from slain enemies? Like, what is that powering? How is that working? From a lore perspective, that's actually a very interesting question to ask. The maps in this world are going to be open zone like the Outer Worlds, so you'll travel from one place to another, and that biome, that map, will be its own like little version of an open world. So this game is not one big open world map. It's like a whole bunch of open world maps put together called open zones, kind of like the Outer Worlds. And they're comparable to the Outer Worlds' largest open zone map, which I think is Monarch. So be prepared to have actually some significantly sized open zones. Me personally, this is actually my preferred way to do it. I love open world games, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it's nice to have it into segmented pieces so that if I'm like, you know, I feel kind of like in this mood, then I can go into this area and I know it's just like one chunk of the game. Like, I feel like when I break a game down into smaller pieces, it seems less intimidating, right? But that's just me. A lot of people don't like that kind of a thing. They want to just conveniently go from one place to another. So we don't know how their traversal system or their fast traveling system and all that will work. We'll see how that goes. As well, between this podcast and some articles on PC Gamer Mag, which, by the way, if you want to see some online articles, PC Gamer seems to just have like some deal with Gary Patel, it seems like, to have exclusive interviews and inside knowledge about Avowed that they can put these articles out. There's definitely confirmed no classes in Avowed, which we kind of already knew, but we've had that confirmed. There's no classes in Avowed. It's going to be skill tree based, and the abilities and stuff that we see on the skill trees, however, are heavily pulled from the Pillars of Eternity world if you're familiar with those games. So it's going to be exciting to see how they translate those from a CRPG isometric perspective into a first-person action RPG. I'm excited personally to see it. I think I'm going to play mostly a mage build because some of these spells have lore associated with them, and I want to see how that kind of plays out within the game. Plus, in any game, you can hack and slash with a sword and shield. That's pretty much the same thing in a different game. Maybe some game developers do it better than others, but magic can be uniquely expressed, right? Like, certain spells and abilities only exist in certain fantasy worlds compared to others, so that's just going to be my take on that. But, you know, everyone plays they want. The last gameplay thing that I really want to run through here is that the combat is actually heavily influenced by Warhammer's universe for the Vermintide and Darktide games. So if you want to get a bit of a feel for how Obsidian is trying to develop their melee combat and probably the ranged combat as well to a degree, check out Warhammer 40K's Vermintide or Darktide games. They're using inspiration from that. So it's probably not going to be a copycat necessarily, but they're taking inspiration from that. I read that on one of the PC Gamer Mag articles online. So feel free to read that for yourself if you want a little bit more information. Which adds, you know, a fourth game to my list of games to play if you're trying to prepare for Avowed. Currently, I have Pillars of Eternity for the lore and the story, as well as The Outer Worlds for the feel and the gameplay mechanics, Skyrim for the idea of like dual wielding in a fantasy setting, even if it might be a little bit dated. And now I'm going to add Vermintide or Darktide, probably Darktide because it came out more recently, for how to get a feel for what the combat's going to really feel like when you're in the action. The final things of note is that all of this footage was in alpha, which was fantastic to hear about because I thought that the footage already looked pretty good. So to find out that this was actually captured in alpha mode is exciting to me. And lastly, there is no such thing as a pacifist run in this game. So if you were hoping to get through this game without killing a single character, it looks like you're probably not going to be able to do that. Now, does that mean the opposite is not true, that we can play through the game and kill everybody? Obviously, besides the companions, it would probably seem like. It remains to be seen, but, you know, the murder hobo in me hopes that it might be true.
People don't like you very much, do they?
So that is a quick synopsis of all the kind of gameplay-related stuff that I saw and heard within this official Xbox podcast deeper dive into Avowed. So now what I'd really like to get into is I would like to get into the lore related stuff for Avowed. So some things that we learn, I'll start off with a little more mundane stuff. The skeleton that you see in the deep dive from the developer direct, at one point I was like, maybe that's a dragon, you know, because there was orbs around it, so it kind of made sense, but it didn't look quite like a dragon. And it turns out that this is called the Leviathan's Grotto area or something to that effect, which pretty much confirms that the skeleton is actually that of a leviathan, which is really interesting because I think a leviathan is supposed to be an ocean-dwelling creature. I don't know if that's for sure true, so maybe someone can fact-check that for me. I haven't found anything. But why it's in the middle of the desert? What the hell is a leviathan doing there? Is there a chance we could run into another one? I don't know. That skeleton belongs to a leviathan, apparently. That's just an interesting little tidbit. The second thing I want to talk about is actually within this area that we see the Leviathan skeleton, and this is the area of Shatterscarp. So the entire open zone map of that biome, that kind of like desert wasteland area, is called Shatterscarp. And this like Leviathan's Grotto is where we're seeing a lot of the game being showcased. We learn from looking at conversations with the Amawa person, Sergeant Hasui, which I talked about in the previous episode, so if you're a little more interested in what an Amawan is, check that out. We learn that he and a few of these other fallen soldiers, including Private Naoki, is from a place called Thirdborn. So we've learned that Thirdborn is a location within the biome of Shatterscarp. And the people of Thirdborn are Amawans that hail from the Empire of Rauatai. Now again, I've talked about Rauatai in the previous episode, number 80, so if you want to check it out, go ahead. But I'll give a little synopsis here. In the world of Aeora, there are these three major old world empires that have existed for the last few hundred years that have been kind of like the major worldwide political powers. One of them being Adir, which your player character is from. If you're interested in that, check out episodes 4-6 of this podcast. As well, Grand Velia. But it has since then collapsed. The society has collapsed and it is now called Old Velia. The last of these empires is the Rauatine Empire, which, as Kari Patel defines it, is a fun militaristic nation. So Rauatai is a very militaristic nation. It mostly comprised of Amawan people. They live in a very difficult place within the world of Aeora. They're constantly bombarded by storms and the soil doesn't grow a lot of food. So it's a very hardy style of living. And I think that actually contributed to their military because they had a lot of resources that were good for creating weapons, but not a lot of resources good for making food. But when you have resources for making good weapons and ships, you know, you sail out into the world, find food, and bring it back. But to get back to Avowed, these Amawans that are in the settlement of Thirdborn along the coastline within this area of Shatterscarp, these are Amawans that are from Rauatai in some way. Whether or not they've been there for a generation or so, we don't actually know. And Kai, one of your companions, is actually from, it seems it's, he's from Thirdborn, or he has some history with Thirdborn. Because Kari Patel, the game director, remarks on how he has a history with these people and he might feel certain ways about this side quest as you reveal certain truths. So it seems Kai, as well, is from Rauatai, which makes sense given his kind of a soldier background that we learned of in the middle of last year. Now, these next two pieces of information are very, very interesting. This is the stuff that, if you're like me, you heard this and you immediately caught on to it. And Gabe made a remark that Carrie was talking too much, like she said too much. And I don't know if he was just being playful and having fun, but the way Carrie kind of played it off afterwards about, hey, don't worry, I'm not going to say too much, it makes me think that maybe she did say a little bit too much. When watching the video, she didn't have any like reflexive, you know, like body language that said that she thought she said anything inappropriate. So maybe she didn't reveal something that she initially thought had anything to it. But then Gabe, maybe when Gabe pointed it out, maybe Carrie kind of realized, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I don't know. I mean, it could just be that they were being playful for the sake of the video. But either way, I think this is actually great. I think it was actually a fantastic thing because it's caused a lot of stir within the people in the community that are like me anyways, who are like, what the hell is this? What's going on? And like trying to speculate and do research. And it's caused people to actually ask questions and engage in discussion. So I think it's actually a good thing. Maybe they did it on purpose. I don't know. But anyway, so the things we're talking about are the Dream Scourge and an Archmage. Now I'm going to talk about the Dream Scourge first because we know nothing about it. And then the Archmage second because I think I might know a little bit about it. So the Dream Scourge is the name given to this spiritual plague that is within the narrative for Avowed. So if you're not yet familiar, in Avowed, you are an official envoy from the Empire of Aedir that is going to the Living Lands, where Avowed is being set, to investigate a spiritual plague. And up to now, we haven't known anything about the spiritual plague, but Carrie Patel referred to it as Dream Scourge in this episode of the official Xbox podcast. And so now we have a name associated with this soul plague. To give a quick background on souls to help you understand kind of how the mechanics of this world work, souls are a real thing, first off. They do exist. Everyone in this world has a soul. In fact, it's so concrete an actual object, you can perform scientific experiments on the soul, specifically the stuff souls are made of, which is called essence. If you're into that field of science, you're called an animancer. You study animancy. But anyways, souls are very tied to the narratives within the games and stories that we see in Aora, especially as it relates to the cycle of reincarnation that exists in this world called the Wheel. And there's a whole bunch of associative lore connected to that. If you're interested in anything like that, check out episode 10 and episode 17 for the Wheel and Animancy, respectively, if any of that stuff interests you. But when we have this soul plague, a soul plague is something that can obviously exist within this world. There are maladies of the soul that exist within the lore of this world. Right? A person's soul could be fractured. It could be weak. It could have lost some of its essence throughout the cycles of reincarnation that it's lived through. It could be almost sick in a way, not sick like you would be physically, but, you know, kind of on a metaphorical spiritual level. And these maladies of the soul express themselves in one of three primary ways. The soul within this world is the seat of personality, memory, and consciousness. And so when you have a soul malady, it expresses as a malady of one of those three things. Now, when we look at the videos of Avowed, we also are seeing a lot of these like mushroom-esque things going on as well. So there are some like physiological manifestations, and it's not unheard of to see soul maladies expressed within a physiological way. So that's not something entirely crazy that's mind-blowing about this world. But soul maladies can exist, and a soul corruption existing is certainly a possibility. But this seems to be almost a pandemic level kind of a thing. Like the entire Living Lands is being exposed to this soul corruption, and no one's really sure what's going on with it. And so, you know, the idea of the soul plague isn't really a crazy one. It's a really interesting one, but we didn't know anything about it. But now that we know that it's called the Dream Scourge, we know even less because, like, what the hell is that? What the hell is Dream Scourge? I don't know. The idea that the dreams are related to souls is very obvious. Like, some people might have dreams that are actually memories of past lives that they lived, right? People have actually have awakened souls as a result, which means that your personality in a previous life starts to bubble to the forefront of your current psyche. It can lead to madness, a whole bunch of other issues. I won't talk about it here. I talk about it in other episodes. But maybe there's something going on within the souls of the Living Lands that are being affected in their dreams. I don't know. That's one idea that I'm having, is that people go to sleep, they have a dream, and maybe there's an enemy, or maybe there's like an entity that is appearing in people's dreams. And if it gets to them in their dream, then they become this thing called a dream thrall, which we hear about when you read the dialogue between the player character and Sergeant Hasui. So you have to pay attention because Carrie Patel and Gabe are talking with the hosts of the Xbox podcast. And, but if you're reading the dialogue at that section of the video, you actually read the word Dream Thralls. You have these enemies called Dream Thralls just wandering about the world. And maybe that's what Dream Thralls are, people that have succumbed to the Dream Scourge. And maybe it's something where if you're dreaming, you run into an entity and you become a Dream Thrall. Now, I'm kind of doubting that theory because that is like DEFCON a million terms in terms of panic mode, right? Like everyone would be going bonkers. And the fact that there are people who are civilized and all that and not worried or, you know, like just going on with their lives, even though things like this could occur, I don't know. This seems like a little too Armageddon-y to be able to just continue staying in the living lands. But I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I'm close. But the Dream Scourge, I don't know. Maybe it has nothing to do with dreams. It's hard to say. I'm actually more interested in actually what you guys might think. So what do you think the Dream Scourge is? And if you're very, very new to the world of Aora, or you're a veteran of the Pillars of Eternity games, I don't care who you are. Send me an email. Because if you're deep, deep into the lore and Pillars of Eternity, you might have an idea on what this is. But if you're someone who's never played these games, you might actually be offering a fresh perspective or bring something to the table that we never thought about of what a Dream Scourge is. So you have my description of what souls are in this world very briefly. If you want a little more information, check out episode 10 and send me an email, worldofaora@gmail.com, on what you think the Dream Scourge is, just based on that, and that there are creatures running around called Dream Thralls. I think, by the way, the gameplay trailer we saw in June of last year, where we had like that humanoid undead looking thing stand up and he had mushrooms growing on him, I think that was an example of a Dream Thrall. We just didn't know it. I wish I had something more to say for it, but I don't, other than the name Dream Scourge. So, you know, given the definitions and all that, this is the best idea I got. If I think of anything else, I'll let you know in another episode. And if any of you send me, if I get enough emails, actually, I'll put out a bonus episode on like a Friday or something of all the different theories that people have sent me. So send that in, worldofaora@gmail.com. Now, let's move into the piece of lore that I might actually have something to say about. So at some point, Carrie Patel lets us know that in one corner of this map, there is an archmage who has set up a frozen labyrinth in her little area. And in that tiny little clip, we actually get a lot of information. So for one, archmages are actually a particular kind of mage that exists within this world. There's actually a faction group of people, and they have like worldwide level impact, right? So it's a small group of people, but they're very powerful people. They're almost like secret society level powerful. And this is the Circle of the Archmagi. And we've run into Archmagi before within the previous Pillars of Eternity games, if you played them. We've run into Consul Hot, who is arguably not even on the Circle, but he's related to it. We've run into Archimir and Lengrith, as well as Bakerna, who I think is the most recent person to kind of enter the Circle. So, you know, kind of. You have to play the second game if you want to learn more. As well, we run into a few others, but we also get mentions of other people, even though we don't see them personally, right? And the Archmage that we learn about that's in Avowed, I think, is one of the ones that we don't know about. So the Archmages are very powerful mages, as you may understand. They have their ears to the ground for all the very big goings-on in the world of Aora. They will cross the globe to investigate something very esoteric that people don't know about. They've probably been around for near Armageddon-type events that people were completely ignorant even existed, right? Like, these guys have their fingers in everything, especially big, massive secrets or existential threats and stuff of the like. They've also created their own library of spells. So if you're playing a wizard in Pillars of Eternity and you're casting different spells like Minoletta's Minor Missiles, then Minoletta is the name of the Archmage who created that spell, right? So an Archmage also creates spells, and they become very powerful within the world, and they enter into the society of the Circle of Archmagi that are very influential and impactful. Now, there's a bunch of them there that we have not yet run into within this world. Now, which one of them might be the Archmage we see in Avowed? We get a couple of hints. One, we know that the Archmage here is a she, because that's what Carrie Patel refers to the Archmage as, is a she. So we're talking about a woman. The second hint comes in the Frozen Labyrinth. Archmages tend to focus on certain types of magic, right? They tend to focus on certain things. Consul Hot, for example, tends to focus on life draining or siphoning magic, things of that sort. There's another Archmage who I can't remember the name of, but she focuses on like summoning and tentacles and things like that. So there's always like a theme to the idea behind one of the Archmages. Now, with a Frozen Labyrinth in mind, you might ask yourself, okay, is there an Archmage who focuses on ice and freezing? And actually, there is. Of all of the Archmagi that we see in the Circle of Archmagi, there is one that is referenced as a woman. We don't see this person at all. We just know them from mentioning. And when we look at their spells, we get a whole bunch of ice-related stuff. We get things like the Freezing Rake, which is a freezing trap ability. We get the Sunless Grasp, which is another freezing ability. And those are the two main ones that we get. But those two things combined heavily imply that this Archmage we see is someone named Kalakoth. K-A-L-A-K-O-T-H. Kalakoth. Now again, this is something that we know about the world of Eora, so this is the lore that I can offer you, but we don't actually know that much about Kalakoth. We never run into her within either Pillars games, and we only get a slight mention of her. Of the few things that we know this. One, that she kind of is at odds with the rest of the Circle of Archmagi, even though she's aligned with them in kind of like their values, or I guess maybe their vision and ideals. She's kind of like just wants to do her own thing, and she's kind of at odds with other Archmage members. As well, she once shouted into another Archmage's face, Tane, who looks a lot like Paul Rudd if you've played the Forgotten Sanctum DLC in Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire. She once shouted into Tane's face so loudly that they both passed out. So that tells you the type of person we're dealing with here. And lastly, we have the actual spells that Kalakoth is responsible for within the lore in the world of Eora. And we have these three spells mainly. We have Kalakoth's Minor Blights, which is a wizard ability in which you create a ball of energy in the caster's hand and can be thrown at an enemy, causing a type of elemental effect. The second spell is called Kalakoth's Freezing Rake, where a ghostly skeletal hand rakes across an area, doing freeze damage to all those within, leaving them weakened and hobbled. And lastly, we have Kalakoth's Sunless Grasp. This ability allows the caster's hands to become so cold as to freeze what they touch. So it's kind of like the Midas Touch, but, you know, with ice instead. So those are the three spells that we get from Kalakoth. Now, whether any of those might be in Avowed, who knows? We did see in the gameplay trailer from June of last year an ability to cast ice out from you. So, like, you could, like, shoot ice out. That might be related to Kalakoth. It could be Kalakoth's Sunless Grasp, actually, maybe, like, leveled up or something. Or perhaps it's a new Kalakoth-related spell. I'm sure that Avowed is going to have its own little library of spells and abilities unique to this game alone that we haven't seen from Pillars of Eternity 1 or 2. But yeah, that lore was probably the most interesting to me, because the Circle of Archmage, since they're tied to so many important events within the world, they're deep repositories of knowledge of the world of Eora. So I'm definitely going to be spending a lot of time with Kalakoth and reading every book that I can possibly find. Oh yeah, that's another thing, by the way. If you watch the gameplay footage, the extended gameplay footage, you'll actually see some interactable objects in the world, one of which is a book. And me being a lore nerd for this world, I was absolutely salivating at the sight of that. So, but anyways, I'll be spending a lot of time with Kalakoth trying to learn everything she can possibly know. And I'm excited to get to know that. And I'm excited to find out what the Dream Scourge is and the secrets about what that could possibly be. Again, like, send me an email, worldofeora@gmail.com, on any thoughts on what that is, or any thoughts of what I said today, or any questions that you might have. Now, with that all said, my usual thing that I do at this point is ask, what does the lore we talk about have to do with Avowed? But all the lore we talked about today was stuff about Avowed, so we already know. I guess the only thing left to cover is what I've been playing lately, or what's going on with the show, any news related to that, and there's not much to report there. I've actually been playing a tabletop role-playing game called Monster of the Week, so most of my energies have been put into writing stuff for that game, because I'm going to be the game master for that. So if any of you out there have played Monster of the Week and you have any tips, send me an email, worldofeora@gmail.com. Let me know what I'm getting myself into. I have most of the first mystery figured out, but it's still, I'm nervous for it. It's my first time getting into this kind of a thing, with this game in particular. As far as anything else goes, there's nothing new for the show currently speaking. I asked a few episodes ago about the idea of like doing a Patreon or starting advertisements for this show, just as a way to have some like residual money in case, I need to have any expenses for the podcast or something like that. But as far as I'm concerned, I still want to run the show for free. Some people actually gave me some really good alternatives. I'm going to start looking into them. So if anyone has thoughts on that, especially you who have been to the show for a long time, appreciate any feedback you have to offer on that. If you're interested in any of this stuff, follow me on Twitter @WorldOfEora. And now that we're learning a little bit more about Avowed, I'm going to start putting out just little lore tidbits here and there on the Twitter. At least that's my intention anyways, as well as any updates about the show. But that's going to be it for today. Hopefully I've edited out most of my coughing fits through this episode, but I've been talking for way too long and I need to give my voice a rest. Thanks for everyone for listening to today's episode. I'm your host, Eric, aka Gingerino. Tune in next week as we dive into, well, hopefully one of the topics of lore related to Avowed, maybe the Living Lands, for example, unless we find out something else about the world of Aeora and Avowed in one of the podcasts that Carrie Patel is being featured in. Who knows? Anyways, I'm your host, Eric A. Gingerino. I'll see you guys next time.